the podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
It is a feel-good Friday here on Tech Talk. You've got us on Double T97.3 and DoubleT97.3.com. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brennan Riker behind the glass. Again, a little bit of a makeup day on Song Request Thursday. We did get a shortened edition, and so we did short songs, which I very much enjoyed yesterday. But today, pretty open. Just give us what you're feeling on the chat line. Already plenty of song requests for Brennan to rifle through hit us up with as we go along with the program today. We'll go all the way up to 6 o'clock. At that time, Red Raider baseball riding a 7-game winning streak. And in game 2 of a 6-game road streak, we'll begin a series with the TCU Horned Frogs. Robinson will go on the mound. Excuse me, Free will go on the mound tonight. Robinson tomorrow, Hewer on Sunday. From the past 2 weekends, it's rinse and repeat there as you take on the Frogs. On sunny 97.7, we'll have some high school baseball for you. Friendship Tigers taking on Odessa High. Again, 6 o'clock start on sunny 97.7. And then if you're looking for Lubbock Cooper baseball, they'll be in action at home against Monterey. That'll be a 7 o'clock start over on 100.7 The Score. Following that Lubbock Cooper game, you can hear the Astros call somewhere around the range of 8:30. You'll join in progress as they begin a 3-game set against the Texas Rangers. And you can hear the Rangers call after the Red Raider baseball game, depending on what you want to hear. But the Rangers dropped their series against the A's after a 1-0 loss yesterday in the rubber match. The Astros were swept by the Kansas City Royals. So two teams, as they meet up again for the second time in 3 series, looking to bounce back and take down the other one. They split the first series, the Rangers winning the first 2 games and the Astros answering back with the other 2. There's our guy. Aberg, is that where we're at? Oberg?
I believe it's Ober.
Ober?
He said it would be said in his native tongue, but yeah, he just parred out on about an 8-foot putt maybe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nice, about the length of that one we shot in the hallway, maybe.
Probably he made it look a lot better than
a little more
the
undulation.
Rest of us did.
Oh, yeah, a little more mm-hmm. undulation as well. He played it nicely. Mm-hmm. So he finishes his day 3 under, tied for 6th, at least at this point. So good work by him, right where he needs to be. Yep. Striking distance.
Striking distance.
Dun, dun, dun.
That would be our golfing show, although no one would want to listen to our golfing
weed
show.
Strain?
Or wheat strain.
Striking distance. Or horse name. That's a good one. Fantasy football.
Striking distance would be an actual horse's name.
When you and me break off from Fellow American, we could create a new band called Striking Distance.
Yeah, which is what started with the original one because it's the band name was the fun thing to do. Band name and, that was an old high school nickname of mine.
And then you're like, oh, crap, we got to actually play music now.
Yeah. All right, we've decided on Striking Distance.
Yes.
Like, all right, do you have any songs? Nope, we took this entire time deciding the actual name of the
Anyone
band.
Have any instruments? I got a kazoo.
Yeah. I've got some pots and pans and wooden spoons.
Got a jug.
As a kid, I got in trouble so much for pulling out the pots and pans and whacking them like a drum. A lot. I was like, hey, who wants to hear the Phil Collins drum solo at 8 in the morning on a Saturday? Go back to bed! Texas Tech. I wish I was kidding. That was a real thing in the Scott household growing up. Texas Tech volleyball is closing out their spring schedule with 4 matches in 4 days. They'll begin that stretch today. Or I should say tonight when they face Abilene Christian over in Abilene, 7:30 start time for that. Then they'll continue their road trip taking on Angelo State in San Angelo tomorrow, 9 o'clock. They'll follow that with a match against Hardin-Simmons around 10:45. And then they'll end that stretch back here in Lubbock as they take on LCU over at LCU, 5 o'clock. Excuse me, that one's on Monday. Make sure I get that. That day, right, Monday will be against LCU. So if you're looking for some spring volleyball, you can see the Red Raiders closing out their spring slate. Texas Tech softball, they're in action at home starting tonight against the Kansas Jayhawks. The Red Raiders are 4-8 in conference play. The Jayhawks are 10-5. Overall records, however, pretty similar. 24-12 for Tech, 25-12-1 for the Jayhawks. And Kansas has been playing really, really well. But at the same time, this is a good opportunity to get some home wins and kind of bounce back. You go, 1-2 against Baylor recently. You've had a weird series against Iowa State that you didn't get to play. The sweeping against Oklahoma that is, they're going to sweep a lot of teams, so it's not something to freak out, but feels like a good turning point weekend starting tonight, 6 o'clock, tomorrow's first pitch, 4, and then Sunday's 12 o'clock. Around the rest of the conference in the Big 12 for baseball, of course, BYU starting their series on Thursdays. They lost yesterday to Baylor in the first game at BYU. 9-2 series this weekend that are starting tonight. UCF is at West Virginia, Cincinnati at Oklahoma State, Kansas State at Oklahoma. Curious your thoughts on this series when we talk a little bit more in depth about the conference this weekend. Texas is at Houston, and then of course you're taking on TCU. And final bit of news last night. Officially announced, one Mark Pope will be the next Kentucky Wildcats head men's basketball coach, accurately predicted by our very own Dr. Mike Gustafson. You can go ahead and kill the music.
I would, and the key thing about me getting that right had to do with what felt like the dominoes were, and at that point, it felt like, hey, they're not getting UConn. They're not getting, choices 1, 2, and 3 or whatever. And they apparently offered the sun and the moon. And I just my analogy was the Texas baseball search in 2016. That got very public and it got embarrassing. And it got a lot of people rich. A lot of people rich. Along the way. But I think they're going to have their safe choice out there, and it's Mark Pope because he's got a really interesting resume. It's not as decorated as most Kentucky coach resumes, but he played there for Patino. A lot of things to like about him. Been a really good analytics guy, really innovative guy, and I'm sure that there's an aspect of that they felt like, hey, we get him here and we can unlock some things in him that hadn't happened yet. But at the same time, you can see where Kentucky would be angsty about this because they're not plucking that guy from the Final Four or whatever else. He had never won a tournament game.
We can make anyone say yes sway that right. We thought we did mentality, which is over there. But that doesn't make – I know you're not saying this. I think for Kentucky, this is a great hire in a lot of aspects.
It, absolutely.
Because it can go good or bad for anybody that you bring on. If you would have got Hurley – who's to say it wouldn't go sour? Because you're coming in with championship expectations, and you are because you're Kentucky anyways, but especially with Hurley, right? Because back-to-back champions there at UConn. If he had said yes, you're going to have to break the bank to do it, so now you're also paying a coach out-of-this-world money to come over to Kentucky, and if you're still not having the results in the tournament that you think you should have, and probably should from a program like that, then that relationship can go bad quickly. Scott Drew... A lot of people it seemed like fan base was out on him. You bring him in, it goes bad. It would have been I told you we shouldn't have got Scott Drew. Baylor's nothing. This is Kentucky. This is a different ball game. And Mark Pope, I don't know what it's going to be if it goes bad, but he's done a lot of nice things at BYU, Utah Valley before that. He's won everywhere. The tournament, numbers you can say, those aren't really there, but you're an uphill battle over at BYU when you were over in the same conference as Gonzaga when there wasn't that much food around for everybody to get into the tournament, but we'll talk more about it as we go on. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
The podcast that finishes your workday in a very Red Raider way. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Feel Good Friday here on Tech Talk. You got us on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. Give us some music you want to hear on a Friday on the Yates Flooring Center chat line, and we will just let Brennan be the artist that he is behind the glass. Clint Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson. You look like you had a face of drinking some more of that that awful, awful clear stuff you brought in at the end of the Cowboy season.
I got a mouthful of grounds.
I'm probably closer to being an alcoholic.
Isn't it nice when you drink coffee and you get like dirt rubble in the bottom of it like that?
Like gritty. I just did right there.
That's how I like my coffee. Gritty. Mmm, that I can chew. Yum, yum,
look
yum,
at me
yum,
and go, you dipping Skull? No. Just had some coffee. Good.
You got the TCU Horned Frogs tonight. It's what we're leading you up to here. 6 o'clock start time, Double T 97.3, as you take on the Frogs over in Fort Worth. You got Free on the mound again tonight, starting in that Friday spot. What's the confidence here on a Friday night with Free?
Well, I mean, I'm optimistic. You know, it'd be hard to sit here and point at it and go, man, this is here we go. You know, he is locked and loaded on a heater right now because he's struggled the last couple of weeks. And whatever his tell was, whatever pitch he was tipping last week, you know, that got him in trouble, and information traveled fast, and so he'll have some correcting to do with that. Now, my assumption is that whatever his tip was, clearly it was a first base coach that was getting it. I'm giving you a long answer here, but we got 3 hours, right?
Oh yeah.
We'll
explain this answer over the next 2.5 hours here on Tech Talk.
And we're done. my assumption is that it had to do with his setup. In other words, as he's coming set in the, you know, basically facing the first baseman, you know, in the stretch, which all he didn't throw from the windup. So my assumption is that his tell was in his set. In other words, he gets his sign, he comes set. Normally, if there was base runners on, he'd check the base runner first, check the base runner second, whatever, and then throw the pitch. Well, they were getting it with or without that because he throws every pitch from the stretch, which is not uncommon these days. Jack Washburn's the same way, among others. A lot of relievers do it. And so whatever
Brennan does it.
Yeah, whatever his tell was, I think had to do with his setup. In other words, he's got an elbow up. He's got an elbow up when he's gripping his curveball. Maybe the elbow's down a little bit. He's got a little wrist turn, something. And here's my source of optimism. I think something like that is more easily corrected as opposed to, you know, it is as we watch golf, it's easier to correct your grip than to correct something in your swing because then you're
the fundamental part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. As a hitter, hey, in your stance, let's get your hands up just a little bit more. Get your hands, you know, get them back a little bit more, whatever. You can make that adjustment pre-pitch and not have to think about it, and then you just see ball and react or whatever. Hopefully for him, the adjustment that he's making is like, hey, be real conscious of where your elbow's going if you're gripping curveball, fastball, changeup, whatever. And so now that he's aware of it, he can fix it and then go out and throw a good game.
This is a non-mechanics issue,
right?
That you would
that's my assumption.
Probably go after in the off season rather than something that could be changed in the season.
And the hitter version of that would be you're trying to adjust something in your swing that takes a lot of time, a lot of reps, whatever. For pitchers, that's a little bit difficult, a little bit more difficult because you can't just go to the pin and go throw 100 pitches every day until you get that flow right, you know, because then you're going to develop all the other problems that go with it. But he can work on that setup when he's long tossing. He can work on that when he's throwing a flat ground, which flat ground is basically to you and me playing catch. But you might stand there and just play catch with another guy 60 feet away. you're gripping your pitches, you're gripping your changeup, you're going through your mechanics, but you're not on the mound. You don't have a catcher down in the stance or whatever. And so I think that kind of thing can be easily corrected now that it's brought to his attention. And hopefully that then leads to a good result because he goes, oh, okay, I'm not telling the entire Big 12 that, hey, you can eliminate the curveball or you can whatever it was.
Chicken wing curveball coming your way.
Right. He's chicken, yeah, whatever. Whatever pitch he's gripping can be eliminated or whatever he was doing that was giving hitters a tell. Because you'd see bad swing, rocket double. Mm-hmm. Bad swing, laser. Bad swing, and so, you know, that alone doesn't make you go, oh, they've got a tell. But then you can see Tim working the dugout. I mean, and he's from one end to the other of the dugout, and he's always standing at the home plate side of the dugout, mm-hmm. always, right? Mm-hmm. And so when he's down on the far end and then he's in the camera well, something's going on. Mm-hmm. And then the umpires go, hey, you get back in there, and he walks out there and goes, I'm not getting back in there, to, you know, and then they had the little dust up, although it really wasn't a hot, heated deal, but just all of that was going on around it was surrounding this conversation for free, and they, you know, thank goodness Houston brought it to their attention, and they were basically able to get somebody in for free. Mm-hmm. If it's easily fixed, whatever this is, and again, hopefully it's a pre-grip setup type thing that he can fix, and, you know, get guys to watch him all week long and go, yep, it's fixed now, make sure you keep that elbow down or up or whatever. And then we move on to something. You know, there's my source of optimism. I think it's an easy adjustment, and hopefully just the sheer, you know, him going out and throwing a good ball game is not going to hinge on whether or not they've got his signs or not, because or his tell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll see. Hopefully that takes care of itself, and he can clear his head and go out and pitch because, you know, it's home for him, not Fort Worth, but DFW is home for him. So, you know, some guys will get energized by that, and some guys will struggle.
This may be, because I share in your optimism with this, and this may be a dumb question. It wouldn't be my first one. If it is, it certainly won't be my last. Do you think that there would be a chance that, you know, at least for this week, since this would be the first game, if that is the adjustment that he would be, that there might be a tendency to be focusing more on, like, where your elbow is pre-pitch than what you're about to do? You're about to, you know, go through everything and the mechanics and, you know, just pitch and yeah, whatever you're delivering off the bump. Do you think there could be a chance that you see the issues the other way, where now he's sitting there and overthinking everything because
sure,
he's trying
absolutely
to make sure everything is right and he's not?
Absolutely. For yeah, 100%. That's the concern. I would just tell you that for me, when we were trying to make an adjustment and it was an adjustment in my stance, I was able to make that adjustment, do this, don't do that, whatever. Mm-hmm. And then not think about it, and hopefully that's what we're talking about with him, as opposed to trying to adjust something in his arm stroke or, you know, that he's pronating too much or whatever. That's going to take a whole lot more time than 7 days to fix. Good song.
It's Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3. We'll be back with more next.
The podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and DoubleT973.com. It's not summertime yet, but this will get you in the mood for some warmer weather coming up this weekend. And always a jam for Mr. Will Smith there. You can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, all of that, welcome there. We'll get a play of the day from Brennan here in just a moment. We got this on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Shelly said, dirt rubble horse name. This from Juan. So is the Gustini the official drink of the Derby? Yeah, have you kept up with the end of the bench Derby that's coming up here in a couple weeks?
No, I'm interested, though.
Today has been the day to come up with show specific drinks. I threw out the a few different options for us, all based basically around you. I thought you might like the Gus on the beach.
Okay.
Perhaps the Gussy Naval.
Okay.
Perhaps a Gus and Tonic.
Okay.
A Gus Mapolitan. I don't know how to make any of those drinks, by the way.
Write all this down. How about just a Gus Light?
That's funny. Yeah, my favorite though has been the Lindt julep for the race. I mean, that's pretty. That's been the best
that's
one.
Perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. This on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Saw a video of Ed O'Neill with Patrick, and he asked him who the best football player he ever played against. He said Roger Staubach because you couldn't catch or tackle him.
Yeah.
Pretty good. Tiptoe Through the Tulips. Yep. Tiny Tim got famous on Laugh In. I didn't ever grasp how famous he was because I think what he died in like the mid-90s or something like that. Yeah. And so I don't know, is that like one that he got more famous after he was gone, or like if you said Tiny Tim in the 80s, someone was like, oh yes. Love Tiny Tim.
Suffice it to say, an oddball, but yeah.
That's not a put down on him. I don't have any grasp on
he
that.
He stood out. Easy to remember. Also had the question about number two. By the way, the big donkey left-hander that they're throwing tonight, 6'6", 250-pounder. So, and he's a two-way guy. He'll hit a little bit. So that's a scouting report. A lot of strikeouts, power stuff tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting looking guy. He has had a couple outings where he's just been wipeout dominant. One of those at home last week at Cincinnati, I think 6 innings work, gave up 4 in the fourth, I think. So kind of more of a middling performance last week for sure. Their Saturday starter, Luis Rodriguez, actually pitched against the Red Raiders here last year. He has worked a bunch in relief, getting the start here. Some of the draft stuff for him has him in 2025 being a draft guy, like a top 100 type prospect. Good numbers this year, more of that in relief than in starts, although 2 weeks ago against Houston in Fort Worth, 8 innings of shutout baseball, struck out 10, career high across the board there for him. Last week against Cincinnati, 3 innings, 5 hits, 3 walks, 6 runs, all earned. And so he was sort of part of the problem for mm-hmm. them last week. But
hopefully he's part of the problem this week.
Yeah, he's hopefully a right-hander. All a problem. Yeah, no, I agree. And then Cole Klecker was one of their guys. He went 10-4 last year, was a key guy, threw well for them in Omaha, threw well to get them to Omaha. Change of speed guy, just a real pitchability dude. And this year he's been, you know, he's got a 6 ERA and has – pitched himself into the bullpen and out of the rotation and all that. And so that one's a hard thing to put your finger on because last year he was outstanding as a freshman, like threw up into like 90 innings last year. And so not only did he make a regular turn, he delivered, you know, he was on the mound taking his pitches. So I don't know if there's an injury situation or whatever, but that's the name that if you'd asked me about these guys back in February, I would have had him going, yeah, Friday, Saturday. We'd heard about Tolley or whatever his name is, and he's probably going to be in there in the 1 or 2 spot as well. Klecker's going to be right behind him, but Klecker hadn't pitched well. So we'll see about that. But yeah, so it's left, right, and then TBA.
Thomas Benjamin Anderson, the no-hander.
Yeah, hope I've given you an answer there.
Yeah. Brendan, would you please give us your play of the day?
Rodriguez winds in, the breaking ball slapped out towards left field, going back. The left fielder still going back. It's gone. Nolan Hester gets one out the opposite way. A big blast for his first home run as a Red Raider. A big run, a big momentum swing, and make it a 7-5 lead for your Red Raiders.
That's what I'm talking about, Nolan.
That was a homer in game 3 of last year's Tech TCU series en route to a 10-5 win over the Horned Frogs to secure the series over the Purple Lizards.
And I thought you were you may be aware of this, you may not be, but that was the Saturday starter I just detailed. I just told you about Luis Rodriguez, and you played a clip of him giving up a tank.
I knew that.
Like the sound of that.
It's all connected. Good job by you. It's like we share one brain.
Good job by you.
Yeah. You can see it too. Keep hitting us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. A couple more people with some thoughts on old Tiny Tim. I know that's what you're really excited about, Gus. The Tiny Tim sounds oddly like a Vikes Brennan impression. Don't know what you're talking about. Old Tiny saying like his drawers were in a bind. And here you go. Tiny Tim, or as I like to call him, Double T. So there's your full circle back here. Bullfighter put up a picture of Dr. Gus all dressed up, ready for the Panic at the Disco concert.
I like that, dude.
But you should do
that's
this
more,
look.
That's way more punky than a Panic at the Disco. Not that there's not going to be anybody dressed like that at Panic at the Disco, but for...
I mean, that would work still.
For Bullfighter, guys like Bullfighter, me, kind of vanilla, Caucasian dudes. Probably have
Caucasians everywhere.
That's what the Masters is, by the way. Mm-hmm. Caucasians everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, the Panic at the Disco, it may all seem like that's what they are, but I would be, they're probably not just raging punker mohawks and stuff like that at the Panic at the Disco. Yeah. I'm sure there's plenty, but not, I mean, this isn't Butthole Surfers or Dead Kennedys or whatever, right?
Yeah. I'm picturing more, you get like, even if their hair wasn't black to start, it has been dyed severely dark. Yeah. There's a swoop where you can only see one eye. They're yelling things so like it's not a phase. Probably a lip ring. Some sort of netting for some reason on like limbs that doesn't make any sense to have it. You know, things like that.
You're oddly specific there, but we can talk about that off the air if you'd like.
Get out of my room, Mom.
Yeah, that's what seeing get a text or Panic at the Disco is not punk rock, and I'm mm-hmm. agreeing.
Oh yeah.
So yeah.
I did like the punk picture though of Gus.
Yeah, I did too. 100%.
I say you should go for that look.
100%.
ESPN Plus turns on the camera, you get that look right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to punk up a Halloween costume like that.
Punk it up, man.
Well, let my hair grow out, get the whatever, mohawk, faux hawk, or whatever, just for the weekend, and then go in on Sunday after the party and get it trimmed, you know, get it cleaned
keep
up.
Keep it, and then, like, go if it's, like, a, you know, Friday Halloween party.
That's what I'm saying.
And on Monday at work, like, oh, it's a Halloween thing. don't change
but
it.
But I like it. Yeah. I'm leaving it.
It's grown on me, literally. It's my hair. It's Tech Talk on Double T 97.3.
Podcast put together with Red Raider fans in mind. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Happy Friday. You got Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. One more hour with us as we lead you up to Red Raider baseball against TCU. Game one tonight. Jeff Haxton and Jamie Lint on the call live from Fort Worth. We are here in the First United Bank studio. You can reach us in a couple different ways. You can call us on the Visual Edge IT hotline. That number is 806-771-0973. Or you can hit us up on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Thoughts, comments, questions, reactions, predictions as well. If you want to give us any of those for the weekend, all of that welcome there. And you can start getting your questions in also for Ask Tech Talk. That'll be in 45 minutes from now. Take us anywhere with the mobile app. That's brought to you by our friends at Happy State Bank. We're also streaming live on Fox 34 News Now and on YouTube. And you can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter if you like. Putting up fun stuff there all the time. Just look up Double T 97.3 and you will find us there. Gus, I brought up the On 3. I believe this is their first one. Field of 64 projection for the tournament. Texas Tech is a 3 seed in it. And okay. The important part is they are in it for their projection as of now. And again, a bunch of different ones you can go
baseball.
Off. Yes, a yep. bunch okay. of different ones you can go off of. Yep. And you'll get more and more of these as we get into this back half of the season. Would you like to guess where they are regional-wise?
Yeah, I would. If I was just guessing at national projections,
mm-hmm.
I would guess they saw the Texas word at the front of our school name and are sending us to another certain host, also with Texas in front of their name, and I would go with Texas A&M.
You are correct. College Station in this projection.
Yep.
Louisiana is in this regional as the 2 seed, and then Bowling Green behind you as the 4 seed. You're Tech's the 3 seed.
Okay.
Tech's the 3 seed in it. Well, how would you feel about that, going over and seeing the Aggies?
Well, I wouldn't love it.
Yeah.
Because they're really, really good. But you never know. I mean, you just never know. I mean, this time last year, I would have said nobody in their right mind wants to go to Fayetteville. And they played tight, and TCU took it to them. And that's that. And they went to College World Series, right?
Mm-hmm.
A couple years ago, it was Arkansas also. I'm going back a couple years, maybe 3 years. Arkansas at home, NC State went in there and just shocked them. I'm not acting like there's no chance. But that Texas A&M situation, those dudes are loaded. Loaded. They are, they're loaded. I mean, you know, this is a sidebar, and it's not news today, by the way. It's nothing new. But they're – I mean, it's been widely discussed that they're doing an $80 million renovation to their baseball stadium.
Mm-hmm.
$80 million, 80. So, yeah, they've got the right guy in place, and, they're going to be a force for a while.
You know, something else with this projection is I'm doing a rough count. It's laid out a little bit strangely. Of where they don't have just the full numbers, and it's not like in a bracket style, so pardon my counting and my math. I believe they have put in 7 Big 12 teams as well.
Oh, like that.
Yeah, and that's leaving out TCU in the first 4 out, by the way, who you're seeing starting tonight. But the first 2 projections, at least, we've seen. Well, the first one is from Baseball America, this one again from On3. Both have, you know, pretty good numbers for the Big 12, which is a concern. And yeah, on one side you can say, well, you know, just go take care of business and don't worry about the numbers and projections as far as that from the Big 12 for postseason play. And yes, there's truth to that, but at the same time, it sure feel better if your projections that are out there are giving the Big 12, you know, a little more respect or a little more, you know, noteworthiness, whatever you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
just giving you more spaces. And again, they're not the end-all, be-all. The tournament will be what it will be whenever it's said and done and you get everybody selected. But that's an encouraging sign to me, just because it's going to help you out. I mean, more spaces availability.
Absolutely.
More spaces available that you get in, better for you.
I mean, and if we can't play ourselves into a host situation, and that's going to take a lot of winning down the stretch. Mm-hmm. We're not out of that mathematically.
Sure.
I can tell you that, but there's only about 3 losses left on the schedule if you want to host. I mean, just mathematically, and I'm saying that's to get into the top 16 RPIs, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if you're not going to get the host, then you don't really get to control your fate, and that's not a Texas Tech thing. That's anybody, mm-hmm. you know. Then your hands are in the committee's hands at that point, as opposed to being the 7 overall seed, and then you just wonder who they're sending to your place, and how nasty can your people make it, and what kind of an environment you can create. Yeah, we got a texter here that's reminding us too. The other big Cinderella run was Notre Dame 2 years ago. They mm-hmm. beat us in a super close game in the region final. And then Josh Young is inches away from, I don't remember what the exact circumstances, if that puts us ahead, if it wins it, I can't remember. But and then the winner of that was going to Knoxville to face the number one team in the history of the universe, Tennessee Vols. And sure enough, Notre Dame went in there and shocked them. And beat them twice. And so, yeah, it happens all the time. And so anything can happen. But that, I'm just telling you that A&M situation, those dudes are loaded.
The A&M thing on one side, if you could get, you know, what would be an upset from just, you know, they'd be hosting. And on that one, I believe they were the 3rd overall seed. Yeah, they would be the 3rd overall seed. On one hand, doing that and then, you know, making it to a super regional in general, but going through Texas and A&M to do that would be awesome. The other side of that, if they were to be the ones that officially were the last game that you played, if it lined up that way, would be pretty disgusting. Yep, but at this point, I take it if it was offered because I just want to get into the tournament, give me the for sure thing.
Absolutely,
I think everyone would
100%. And yeah, the you know, that's that projection is being made with that right there as a possibility. Doesn't surprise me. If there was a bunch of hosts west of us, I might say that we would go west.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bunch of Arizona schools, California schools, whatever. But I'd have to study that a little bit closer. But it's probably not likely.
We're officially in projection season. Again, I mean, we were just in projection season for basketball, and now
you get
we're
to, yeah,
projection
you get to mid-April, season for baseball. You get to mid-April, and it's RPI season, and thus projection season.
Hand in hand. It is Tech Talk here in Double
T97.3. It's every Red Raider's favorite podcast. This is the Tech Talk Podcast from Double T97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
It's Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com. Looking out for your health here on this program. That's what we do, you know? That's what Gus and I care about. Glenn Scott, Dr. Mike Gustafson, Brendan Riker behind the glass taking care of us. Gus, we don't talk a lot of NBA on this show, or really between any of the shows, between here and 100.7 The Score. And, you know, you usually see the pickup of it when it gets to NBA playoff time. And so I'm not here to break down anything that we haven't been following or anything like that. And just out of the blue, all of a sudden start like, oh yeah, we've been talking about the Mavs all year long. But I saw something last night that really stood out in the association, and I wanted to bring it to you. Now, the Pelicans, yeah, no, why would you care about the Pelicans? They're not your team. They beat the Kings last night. They won this game 135-123. I bring this to you because we got, we'll call it a bonus play of the day with our guy Kevin Harlan.
Pelicans hold on. Driving into Murray. Somebody's thrown something on the floor. 46 seconds to go and a whistle blew. It's a chicken wing. Why would someone throw something that good out on the floor? It's crispy. Yes. It's warm.
Yes.
And I almost had to go out. I'm so hungry.
I hear your stomach over here growling.
What's that guy? I hope he eats it. I'm just going to save it for and put it in that little heater over there. 46 seconds to go. It's
classic.
Yeah.
I've never said the sentence. I would listen to Kevin Harlan call anything. I would listen to him talk about a chicken wing. I'm going to now because I really enjoyed hearing him describe. It's crispy. It's warm. I'm so hungry.
And we get him on, what, NFL?
That's the shtick, and we're going to need that clipped.
Like CBS, NFL CBS, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Big Harlan fan.
Yeah, sure. Seems like he gets a lot of Chiefs games.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. like,
and he's and that
he's on the top. He's at the top of the list of the CBS crews, right?
So if he's not at the top, he's way high up or something like that. He does a lot of them, so you'd think he's pretty high on that ladder. But I couldn't say confidently that he's for sure their number one play-by-play guy. Mark Pope,
right.
He now has to be replaced at BYU, so after it's all said and done, although the watching was, of course, on Scott Drew, there is still a Big 12 coach that needs to be hired that isn't as of now. One name, so Mark Madsen be thrown out. There's one of the names. How about one Barrett Peary? I don't know how strong this is to it, but, boy, that would be interesting over there.
And part of their situation is going to be, got to be a LDS, got to be a member of the Church of Latter-day Saints, and so that that it doesn't just open itself up to everybody. But yeah, the that is an interesting conversation, and you got to believe that it's a classic case of, especially there. As much as anybody, the
that athletic director, knowing that he can't just pick from the whole wide world, mm-hmm. having that list cultivated is got to be critically important, because it's not just the whole wide world. And yes, Barrett Peary is the name that jumps off the page, no doubt.
And so this is where also the move to the Big 12 helps immensely, because it's another thing as far as, on one hand, the side of, okay, well, you can't just go and get anybody when you're doing the hiring of it. But on the other side, you're also trying to convince someone to come to you. And so that narrows it down even more, right? Because mm-hmm. it's from both sides. And so now where you're saying, well, you can come be, you know, hey, we've got this couple of guys that we're interested in. Well, now on top of it, you get to come coach in the best conference in America.
Yeah.
And so for them, like, that's a big asset as far as trying to get one of their targets to come coach for them. And they don't have just, I mean, it's not like for Pope, just crater-sized shoes that they're trying to fill or anything. But year one, they had a very successful year. Pope has done some really good things. There's a reason why Kentucky was interested in him. They go down the list to get to him, but still interested in him. And it's not just because he went to Kentucky and had success as a player. Like, there's real juice to that. And I'm like we talked about earlier, I'm interested to see how he does at Kentucky. I like him as a coach.
Yeah, I do too. It's interesting to see if the things that he brought to BYU, especially the way that offense played this year and how hard they were to play, and not a year that they went into with great expectations, but did really good things. If we think about them or that team in terms of, okay, now you do that with Kentucky talent. Mm-hmm. It resembles a bit to me the Mike Leach conversations that we had that the world was having when Mike Leach was at Tech. Like, what would that look like if he was doing all those Texas Tech things, you know, that we're doing, and as it evolved here, you know, 03, 05, 06, 08, what would that be like if he was doing that with Miami's talent, or, you know, fill in the blank talent? Mm-hmm. But over time, the system evolved and he sort of stayed where he was with it. And so he was still a winning coach for sure, but it wasn't it. We never got to see. Well, we probably did get to see that offense with big time talent. Just wasn't Mike Leach coaching it, you know. And it was mm-hmm. when Alabama said, "All right, we're spreading this thing out."
Yeah.
And there's a Heisman receiver over here, three first rounders, and here's a couple of quarterbacks that are going to knock on the door of the Heisman and be first round picks. That's what it would look like. But you know, this Pope conversation, him running that offense the way he does with Kentucky talent's really intriguing.
Also saw this, the restaurant that Drew tweeted out the other day has put a picture up and labeled it Drew's Table, the Mi Casita in Waco. Dude, this is going to be advertisement gold over there for them. It is Tech Talk here on Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com.
This has been the Tech Talk Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at Double T 97.3.com.